Welcome. My name is Edna White. I am your host today of Keeping It Real on Purpose. And today we have an amazing guest with us, Brianna Shade. And she's going to tell us all about her business, and we're going to get all excited about it. So I want you guys to pay attention. If you have questions, please put them in the chat or, well, yeah, put them in the chat on the side, and I'll be glad to ask Brianna the questions. Welcome to the show, Brianna.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. And I love any opportunity to talk about cats. So this is going to be wonderful.
Okay. Awesome. So, how do you show up for cats?
Oh man, let me tell you, I am a force to be reckoned with. I absolutely am obsessed with cats, and I love being able to be out there as crazy a cat lady as I possibly can be. Obviously, for the viewers here, you can see I've got lots of cat paraphernalia on my
Yes.
shirt and my ears and my backdrop and all of that. But I am obsessed with cats to the point where my own mother thinks that I have gone off the deep end with all of the cat stuff. And it's like, hey, I don't care because it makes me happy.
Yeah, I think we have to bring back fun into our lives a lot of the times when we become adults, and bring it back in,
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've also found that cats, because they're so cute, they just make people happy. And so whenever people see what I do, they're like, oh, that's so adorable. And it's instant smiles. And that's what I love most about it, is it's making these happy ripples all throughout everywhere I go.
Okay. So how do you introduce cats into the world of self-development and personal development? How do you do that?
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, if you've ever heard, there is a principle that's called the baby schema effect, where basically if you have some little cute thing that is the pudgy cheeks and the cute little tiny noses and the big eyes and whatever else, then psychologically, we as humans looking at something cute that fits this schema that basically looks like an infant, you literally cannot be stressed when looking at this thing because your body goes into this mode of, hey, there's this tiny little thing of, I need to nurture this. I need to take care of it. And I can't bother with my own stress and things that are impacting me right now. And so it's a natural stress reliever,
That's interesting.
just looking at cats. But additionally, I also run the
Okay.
Kitty Crochet Club, which is all about crocheting, which itself is a very therapeutic action, that repetitive motion of making these creatures. And when you look at them again, you're looking at something cute, and it's something that you've created and can be very proud of that. So for all of those reasons, these little kitties, whether you're just looking at them or actually making them yourself, they make you happy and they reduce stress, and it's a really good self-care mechanism.
Okay. Okay. That's good because I know that I've heard that I know my mom does sewing. She does sewing. My mom does sewing. So I know that it kind of relieves the stress for her and she loves it. And she was going through things a while ago, maybe 3, 4 years ago, mentally. And not until she got back into her creative side did she start to all of that kind of like de-escalated. She was able to release a lot of that stress. She made a lot of quilts, I'm not kidding you.
I bet
She made
it
a lot of
can
quilts. Yeah, you can. How do you balance that? Let me ask you that. How do you balance that? That it's not so addictive.
addictive too. I don't. I give in to the addiction. mostly because so this was the thing when I first started doing this back in January. It's like, okay, these are really cute and I love making them. Now I need an outlet for them. And that was the whole impetus of building it as a business, because it started as, hey, I just want to do this for myself. But then it's like, okay, these kitties are just going to collect in my home and I really will be a crazy cat lady with all of these little tiny cats. But that's when I started my Etsy store and I have an online shop, and then somebody suggested, right, hey, you should be selling these at local markets, you know? Okay. So now I have, right, a way to let go of some of them, even as, right, hard as they are, because every single one of them, like, oh, I don't want to actually sell,
yeah,
this,
you
one,
keep
it's
them.
So cute. Yeah, so that's them. How I manage the addiction, by having an outlet.
Now, how well do you do in the you know, selling at craft fairs and Etsy? Mm-hmm. How well do you do with this?
I actually do rather well, because they're super attractive and people are like, wow, that's really unique what you're doing. There's nobody else. There are plenty of other crocheters and plenty of people who make cats as one of their products, but they're not, you never see anybody who's focused like just on cats, and that's literally all, okay, that they're making. And so right, it's very unique and it's very well received because of that. But also, mm-hmm, it's this niche that I'm incorporating geeky cats into it. So I have, okay, all of these geeky characters, like a Sailor Moon, for example, that is very, mm-hmm, iconic, and people recognize this character, but it's like, mm-hmm, oh, guess what? It's a cat now. And so people resonate with that, and okay, they kind of want a piece of that. And so it's, gotcha, it's very, it works very well as far as that goes. But then I have, okay, all of these different aspects of my business. So it's not just selling the cats, but it's also, I have this whole kit business and a kitty crochet club where I'll mail you kits every, okay, single month, and we can make the geeky kitties together. And so it's,
that's
all these different,
nice,
aspects. Yeah. Yeah. So it works all very well.
I like that. Good. So I like that you have all different aspects of your business, which is great, you know, because some of our businesses, or we start, you know, in our passion, like you are, we focus on one stream, and you keep saying, mm-hmm, business, which I like to. You're always saying business, because you do have to run it for like a business, because you are,
oh,
spending,
yeah,
your time, right? And,
oh,
you're,
yeah,
spending products, right? So you, mm-hmm, you're treating it like a business. And I love the fact of the cat thing, the cat kit. I love that. That's like amazing.
Kitty kits.
It's like super. Like that's something additional that you can do. You're still doing what you love, but it, mm-hmm, that's great. That's great creativity. Mm-hmm. What else do you do to kind of bring the stream of income in? What else do you,
oh,
do,
man,
with that?
Okay, so I have the primary thing that I've been driving toward is the membership. Of course, it's a monthly kit membership. Okay. That way I can focus on just the designs and send out all the kits every single month, which are much more work on my part. And it's also something that I could theoretically,
right,
hire out at a later date. So that's not,
right,
something that is requiring me and my involvement all the time. So it's a much more scalable,
gotcha,
aspect of my business. But then, of course, I love making them as well. So that is something that I just do for me, because I love that. And then I have that outlet of selling the kitties. But because I come from that particular place of power, I guess, within my business, it's like I can, yeah, afford to charge what I actually want for my art and not,
right,
say, oh, well, it's not selling, I should lower my prices or anything like that.
Right.
And
right.
that kind of slows the demand as well, so that I don't feel pressured to simply bloat my inventory because I have so,
right,
many people who want them. It's like, okay, well,
right,
I can only make so many in a given time frame. So I kind of slow it that way. But then, and then I have the kits. And I thought I had one other thing. My mind is blanking at the moment. I have other aspects outside of my business. Oh, the other thing that I do, of,
right,
course, is I have custom kitties that I make for like mementos and memorials made from real cat fur.
Oh.
So these
nice,
are also a higher a price point, but also they're super custom and really special,
right,
to the people. And I'm super passionate about this because they are so unique and different.
That's
and
nice.
Custom for each individual. And when I make one of these for somebody and they see their cat who has passed or whatever, and they're like, oh my gosh, it looks so,
right,
much like Fluffy, you know, and that,
right,
that warms me to no end. It's like, oh, that's why I do this kind of thing, because it means so,
right,
much to them.
Right.
But that's all within that one particular business. That's all within my kittencozoidal business. But I also
Yeah.
have other
Yeah.
streams of income outside of that.
Okay.
So I
Okay.
also pet sit, for example, like cat sit locally, and that's a separate thing
Yes.
entirely, but still kind of in the same
No, it's
similar
actually the
vein.
same thing. It's the same
Yeah,
thing. It's the same
it's
thing.
just a
Same
different
thing. Yes.
business.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lie. Everything's a lie. Okay.
Yes.
I like the third stream of income where you are, I don't know if you market to pet cemeteries or things like that, but I like that idea. It's like nobody's doing that. That's really, really good.
Exactly.
That's a
And
great,
it's so
that's
special. I mean,
great.
I originally crocheted these because I wanted a way to kind of bring a piece of my kitties with me whenever I traveled, because my husband and I absolutely love to travel. And we were setting
Right.
off for like a 14-month trip around the world, and leaving my cats for that long, it was devastating to me. And it's like, well, what can I
Yeah.
do? And so my long hair cat, little Holly here, who's actually going to be 22 in February, believe it or not,
Oh, wow.
she has all this fur, and it's like, there's got to be something I could do with this. And sure enough, there are people who will spin this into yarn. That's not my expertise. My expertise is on the
Right.
crocheting side. And then
Right.
I could crochet these little minis that look just like my kitty.
Oh,
And then
wow.
I took them around the world with me, and I have pictures of them in front of the Roman Colosseum and all throughout South America, and all across the world. It's fantastic. And so they have like their
That's
own
nice.
little stories and adventures that they can take. So that's lots of
Nice.
fun.
Nice. Now, I always talk about being as a being a life coach and business strategist. I always talk about there's always a component of giving back, to someone or to an organization.
Absolutely.
What do you do towards that? What organization do you like? Say you're 10% of your whatever you do, if
Sure,
it be time or
sure.
your money. Who do you work with?
I'll give you a hint. It's cats. I knew right from day one that I really wanted to support cats,
Right.
and because people love them, but they aren't always aware of the plight that they are facing, that there are so
Yeah.
many cats in need of homes. The fact that 45%, almost half of all cats and who enter the shelter system in the US are ultimately euthanized. And that's just tragic. That
Right.
breaks my heart. So whatever I can do to support those efforts, like trap, neuter, release kind of efforts, or adoption efforts, fostering programs, things like cat
Right.
cafes, where you
Okay.
can go and actually adopt the cats there. They get them socialized
Right.
and ready to be homed. Anything that I can do there, I'm all over it. So I actually do donate 10% of all proceeds from every aspect of my business, all of those different areas,
Right.
go directly to the cat
Right.
adoption team in Portland, Oregon, to help with that.
Right.
And that was a shelter we actually adopted our Tuxedo Mochi from, but it's also the place that would supply the cats for the local cat
Right.
cafe as well. So I really love the work that they're doing. I believe they are the largest cat shelter in the Pacific Northwest, and I've just been kind of involved with them for a long time. I would volunteer with them if I was a little closer, but being farther away, the next best thing is
Yeah.
to raise money for them.
Right. And I like that also that you like to connect to another company that kind of brings you along and you can like kind of collaborate with them as it were with your
For sure.
expertise. Where do you see yourself in 3 months with your business? What do you see? What do you see for yourself in 3 months?
First of all, I gotta say thank you so much for not asking, like, where do you see yourself in like 5 years? Because I have no idea. And I hate that question. Every single time I thought that's where you're going, I'm like, no,
No
please don't ask me
5 years.
that
No
question.
5 years.
Because
No.
5 years, it could be completely different. So
Yeah.
3 months, I
Yeah.
can actually maybe visualize that. So I will tell you, in the new year, I have been looking at a lot of conventions, because I do the geeky
Okay.
kitties convention
Yes.
friends are very much my people. They're the geeky people who love a little Pikachu that also happens to be a cat or a cat Spock or whatever, you know. And so I'm doing a lot of conventions in the new year. And in 3 months, I see myself seeing a huge influx of both the sales that I'm doing in person, but also with my membership as well, because that is the scalable part. And especially since we're going into the holidays right now, we're coming to the end of what is called market season. So once Christmas hits, I will be done with my primary source of income right now, which is these markets. So the more that I can work on bolstering the membership side of my business, the that will help tide me over the winter months and allow me that ongoing revenue, something a little more sustainable and less okay, well, what did I do this week? And you get these like little blips of income. It'd be nice to kind of have that a little more regulated. So I'm working on that. Oh, that's the other thing that I do with my business. I do local crochet parties as well. That will help with the holidays as well. So I'm doing like kitty ornament parties where basically you can have like a little colorful kitty that looks Christmassy or whatever, what have you. And then you can decorate it like a Santa or whatever and put a little hook in him. And guess what? He's the perfect size for a Christmas tree ornament. And it's super lightweight too, you know, whatever else. So I'm doing little crafting parties like that locally as well. So,
In your marketing plan, have you worked with, you know, veterinarians and things like that?
I'm only just getting into that myself. For these ornament parties, actually, I'm looking to market to local veterinarians and groomers and anyone who is in kind of the pets and animals, cats, dogs, whatever, who love cute little fuzzy animals and want to, that could be like corporate parties. It can be personal parties. If you've got a bachelorette party thing going on and you want to do a fun little crafty thing that's different. If you've got a kid's birthday party and you want to do that kind of thing, I can do those as well. So yes, I am starting now. In fact, I just went to an event that was a fundraising event for a local shelter. It was actually a partner event between two cat shelters here in the immediate area. And I was talking to them saying, hey, you want to do a party like this? It could be like a corporate party or whatever and cats. So I can even make it like a fundraising event to help them as well. And they were all over it. Yeah. So I'm just in the very beginnings of working with local organizations that.
Yeah, that's really good. That's a really good to get involved with that really early. And now I ask you, when you first started your business, did you go to like maybe a chamber of commerce? Did you go to, you know, where did you, you know, start to get all your information from?
You know, it's really interesting because I didn't even know that the Chamber of Commerce was like a thing. It's like, I've always heard that phrase, but I never knew what purpose they served. And so that's only been, again, another recent addition. But honestly, it's been a lot of online education and coaching. So I've been part of, for example, Stu McLaren's world. He's the membership guy. I'm also in circles with James Wedmore, who is all about business by design, you know, and all of these principles of building a machine for your business so that it's actually working for you and you're not slaving away every single day. And so that's where a lot of my education has come, but I've only recently discovered because I'm kind of in a rural area, we have a program called RAIN, R-A-I-N, like the stuff that falls from the sky. And it is a subsidized program by the local governments. And they do all sorts of free education and courses and programs. They're even doing a contest for business plans coming up so that it with classes and one-on-one coaching and all of that kind of thing. And so that's another resource. And they tie in with the local Chamber of Commerce that I'm only just now getting into kind of thing. So yeah, there are so many resources out there and it can be a little overwhelming when you're looking to start a business for sure. But sometimes you just gotta like jump in and see what happens. And that's been me for a lot of it. It's like, I was not planning on much of this and I didn't start doing markets and I didn't even have the idea to do markets until like April, late April.
Right.
But by the time I applied, I couldn't start actually selling it at markets until mid-July,
Right.
where the
Right.
season was like almost half over, at that point. So
Right.
it's like none of this has been, oh, well, I'm going to do this ahead of time and plan out that and whatever else. It's all been like, oh, there's a great idea. How can I make it work like now?
Yeah. Yeah, I see. Yeah. When I love what you're talking about, and I'm glad that you're encouraging the my audience, because I really talk about entrepreneurship. Did you have to, I don't know if you were working at a regular job, but is entrepreneurship different from you than a regular job?
Absolutely different. So I was working in a regular job before my husband and I decided to quit all of that to go traveling full time. And that was
Okay.
back in 2019. So then we were traveling, and then of course COVID hit and we were forced home, and we decided to use that as an opportunity to perhaps start a business. Of course, my husband and I, what
Right.
we knew best at the time was travel. And so we're trying to start this like travel business in 2020, probably not the best idea. And we actually worked on that for like 3 years before I felt it's like, you know what, this is kind of exhausting me. It's not really truly in alignment with where I want to be. And so I decided to take a step back from that. And at the beginning of this year, I just started crocheting because it was enjoyable. And then it just like naturally, organically launched into this full-blown business. And it's like, okay, I guess this is what I'm doing now. So absolutely, it's different from being an employee. And I think the major difference is when you are an employee, you show up, you do what somebody else tells you to do, and then at the end of the day, you clock out, and that's it. But for an entrepreneur, you are the CEO and the grunt all in one. And so you are responsible, solely responsible for making sure that you win or you fail based, it's all on you. So you can't blame anybody else. You can't say, oh, well, I missed this deadline. Oh, well, no consequences. I'll still collect my paycheck. No, it's like if something doesn't work, then you literally don't get paid. And so that's a lot more responsibility on you as an entrepreneur. And that can't be taken lightly. That's something that you definitely have to keep in mind when, I mean, I love the freedom of being an entrepreneur and the fact that I get to choose what I do. I mean, no one was going to tell me, hey, go crochet cats every day. It's like nobody would even think that that's a thing, but I've kind of like fallen into this thing. And it's like, I love the freedom that I can literally make a life off of something that I'm truly passionate about. And I wake up every day shocked that this is my life. And it's like, wow, how did this happen? But I love it. And it's so freeing and so exciting, that it is this way, and that I'm able to create this life for myself. So yeah, it's very different from being an employee for sure.
And how is time management for you?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm a type A, and I don't know when to quit sometimes. I live and breathe by my to-do list. Otherwise I would forget things, and it's like, okay, I have to learn how to prioritize. I do this. But even then, I never get through the entire list every single day. And so it's like, oh, well, if I have a few spare minutes, I'm going to be working on this little thing. My husband has to say, okay, look, stop. It's dinner time. You're done working on this. But the nice thing is I love it so much. So it's not like I feel like I'm slaving away or anything like this. It's like if I have nothing
Just get
better to
lost in
do, I'm
it.
going to work on my business because I legitimately love it and I want to work on it.
And you just get lost in it. I'm like that same
Exactly.
thing. I just wake up with ideas, creativity, and I just put it together. It kind of works, and you're like, oh, that was easy. You just get lost. You get lost in the creativity of it all. So that's good.
For sure.
So what challenges? This is the last question. What challenges do you have?
That's I as an entrepreneur, you have nothing but challenges, I would think. It's just a matter of how you approach them and what attitude you go to them with. You know, it's like, I like to think of challenges as opportunities. It's like, this is something challenging me right now, but who is this making me become? And what bigger challenges and what bigger opportunities will I have as a result of what I'm going through right now? So yes, it's painful. Yes, it's hard. Every single day is a challenge, but it's new challenges and they're exciting and everything else. So I would say one challenge is figuring out which kitty I'm going to crochet next, because I have 1,001 ideas. I mean, pop culture, there's so many characters. I can do any and everything. And it's like, which one do I want to do next? I can only crochet one at a time. So that's a challenge for me. Sometimes it's keeping up with inventory, which is a challenge. And that ties back into, well, maybe I need to bump my prices a little bit if I'm having inventory challenges. But then it's also, well, how do I allocate the time appropriately? How do I spend more time or less time on social media, for example, bolstering my business, but still get the results that I need and getting the word out of all of the things that I do with my business? And how do I grow it the way that I want to without spending all of this time? So it's all a puzzle, and it's juggling, and it's spinning plates and all of that kind of thing are all definitely challenges. And it's a matter of, okay, I know I want to scale the membership side, for example, but that is much smaller than this side, but this side is really demanding on me because I need to create inventory. So what do I do with my time there? Do I say, okay, I'm just going to have less inventory and hope it all works out? Or do I spend the time working on the inventory in lieu of perhaps building the membership side and promoting the membership side of things? Or do I find some way to do them both, which is kind of what I'm quasi working on. So yeah, time management is definitely a challenge with so many different aspects of the business, for sure.
I interviewed this man before, and he said to me, his mentor told him there was 31 or 33, 30 something ways to bring revenue into your business. So, you know, of course I'm intrigued. I'm like, ooh, this is great. Okay. And so I was like, so how many do you have? And he's like, I'll be honest, I only have one. I'm not listening to my mentor. So he's to say, that right there changed my dynamic on my own business. And I like the fact that you have so many streams, and it's important to have that in your own passion. So you have this big lake that you have, and then you have these little PowerPoints that go on the side, and they're going off and they're doing their thing. It's beautiful. It's really, really, really. Where do you see you involving delegation in your business? What do you see you doing that?
Yeah, so I actually do already have a VA who helps me make Instagram reels, does a lot of the video editing kind of work. And so for me, I try to see what areas of my business do I have that feel heavy to me, that I neglect or avoid or procrastinate on, or for whatever reason don't want to do. And those are the areas where it's like, okay, well, maybe I can get some help in here. And so I've gotten some people who are a person currently helping me with Instagram reels, and I'm looking at potentially hiring a second to help me with more of the generic social media posts, because social media, it's like, I don't care about social media. Like, I'm happy having a conversation if somebody wants to have a conversation, but I hate the whole rigmarole of get on there and post and like and comment of X number of words, and you have to be consistent with all of these things, and you have to post like 5 times a day kind of thing or whatever else. It's like, I don't want to do that, you know, and I would rather focus my energy on making the kitties, because that's what I just want to sit back and do. Or I want to design these new kitties for the membership, you know, whatever. And so I have to identify what those elements are that are most important, that only I can really do. Even when I scale, I can hire out somebody to put together the kits. I don't need to be involved with that. That's something that somebody else can help me with. Well, I need to be involved in designing the kitties on the new designs every single month. And that is the thing that only I can do. And that's the thing that I will never get turn away from. But the nice thing is that doesn't take me a lot of time. And that's something I'm doing anyway. So that's where my passion lies. And that's what I really want to maximize.
Awesome. That's awesome to hear. Awesome. That's great. So what could you tell our audience that's doing something, that's doing their passion, that's, you know, that's really leaning in like you are, because you really are leaning in. I'm really, motivated by you because you're leaning into your passion. And that's, you know, it's very rare, you know, very rare that people say, I can do this to make money, and you're making it happen. So what could you tell our audience about, you know, anything, just to encourage them to do what they love to do?
I think the biggest thing is keep trying, and don't be limited by what you think is your passion.
Oh, that's
Because
good.
again, for like 3 years, I was trying with the travel thing. It's like, well, this is the practical thing. And yes, I am passionate about travel. I love travel, and I love inspiring other people to travel more, because you become a more well-rounded human when you travel more and experience other cultures and talk to real humans around the world, you know, all of that. I love that aspect. But when it felt heavy to me, and I'm looking at it and like, I kind of don't want to work on this today, or I'm excited about this element, but I'm not really feeling it, you know, and it felt like I was fighting against something, that is an indicator that perhaps you haven't quite discovered what your true passion is. And yeah, I've always loved cats, but I never in a million years would have thought, well, why don't I make a business around cats? I mean, nobody, I never would have thought of that. And so with your experimentation, try a lot of different things. It's like, well, hey, I kind of like playing pool. Why don't I explore that and see what happens? What falls into my lap? What synchronicities happen in the universe that will guide me down a certain direction? Or, hey, I kind of like this other thing, and maybe this isn't working out so well, and maybe I'm just not, don't be afraid to let go of it. It's okay. And that was painful for me, especially because I had
That's good.
invested 3 solid years into this business. And it's like, I don't want that to just go away. And it's not. I mean, my husband's working on like molding it into something different. And that's his project. That's his passion. And I respect that and appreciate that. But that leaves me free to kind of go off and do my own thing. And it's like, you know what? Right now it's cats. And that doesn't mean that it will forever be cats. I might find a time down the line where that is no longer the thing I wish to pursue right here in this moment. But right now, I am on cloud nine, absolutely loving what I'm doing here. So.
That makes sense. And you know, that's a great pivot. It's a great pivot. It's so great to say that. I like that. So we want to just thank you for you know, coming on today. You know, you've given us so much to think about and so much to do, you know, and be
Sure.
excited about. And where
Absolutely.
could we find, you know, your cats? You know, I'll give our audience some of the information for your cats.
For sure, absolutely. So my business name is called Kitten Kazoidal, but I don't expect anyone to actually know how to spell that. So I made my website super, super easy. It's just kittyminis.com. So KittyMinis.com.
Great. All
And
right.
everything is linked from there. All of my social media. You can get more information on the custom kitties made from fur. You can get more information on the Kitty Crochet Club. All of that is linked through the website.
Awesome, Brianna. Well, we thank you for being here today. And I know our audience is going to has a whole lot of great diamonds that you've dropped along the way to share with us. Thank you again for being here. This is your host, Edna White, and my esteemed guest, Brianna Shade, saying goodbye for now.
Thank you.